putting artists first because that's my love. And that's, you know, without that, all these opportunities, business opportunities wouldn't happen. You come from Marcy Projects, like a government housing place. So the business opportunities that's been afforded, you know, to me, come from music.
But if you added up all your wealth, and there's quite a lot of it, and people disagree about what your net worth is, but if you added it all up,
I disagree sometimes.
does most of it come from the records, or does most of it come from the business?
No,
obviously have to
outside, of course. Yeah, outside of music, yeah. Of course, no one gets really super rich making music.
I mean, you were an entrepreneur pretty young. You founded your first record label. What, you were in your mid 20s or something, right?
Yeah, I was 26. So I mean, my first album and my first the first artist on my label. Yeah.
So where did you get that little entrepreneurial bug? I mean, that's impressive, you know. But you didn't have like a business background as a kid, or you?
Well, I did have a business background. It wasn't official, but right. I was, you know, I got it from streets. You know, growing up in Marcy, and this sort of integrity that you learn, even though you're in a business that's illegal, you know, the integrity that you learn from it, you know, because you're playing with your life, you know, the sort of business deals that you strike. If you're not a guy of your word, then, you know, certain things happen. So the integrity that you learn from such a bad thing, when applied to good, you know, it teaches you things that you, I don't know if business school could teach you.
But
you really- I'm not condoning it or advertising it. I'm just saying it just what happened for me.
But in terms of your official business career, the grounding you got on the streets was actually a valuable experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're dealing with people, you know, it's just, you know, it's delivering on what you say you're going to deliver on, and just being a stand up business person and seeing like the big picture. A lot of people see, you know, business opportunities as a one-off. I never look at it like that. I don't want to make partnerships or deals with people for $750,000 or whatever those numbers are that they throw around. I don't want to be a paid endorser. I would rather be a partner with someone. You know, it's more beneficial to both of us.
I think you once said that your brands are an extension of you. And you've got quite a lot of brands, haven't you? Rock Aware, the 4040 Club. You've set up the Rock Nation label and the what was the first label you set up? Rockefeller Records.
Yeah.
But you're really the brand, aren't you? I mean, did you see yourself as like Jay-Z, the brand? I mean, obviously your name is Sean Carter, so you're calling.
Yeah, but they're one and the same, you know, and as you protect yourself and your integrity of what you'll do, you're also protecting your brand by default. So, you know, luckily for me, and strategically for me, I align myself with things that I really like.
It's better that way.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, it sounds simple, but it really is better that way. You know, a lot of times people out there promoting things.
But I mean, one thing about brands is that, and this is the sort of thing they teach you in business schools, is they need to be authentic and you can't sort of fake them. And they need to have stories and personality. And of course, every rap artist has stories and they have their feuds with other rap singers and they have the backstory of the, you know, the hard knock times of the early life and all of that. How much of those are the stories around you, shooting your brother at age 12 and the feud with Nas and all that kind of stuff? How much of that is a sort of construction, building a personality to be interesting? And how much of it is absolutely real?
Well, for me, all of it is real. And that's very difficult to say, right? Because I am an entertainer at the same time. Well, I mean, when you those sort of experiences in life, those are my real life happening in front of people. But a lot of times the beefs are manufactured because it's an emulation of something real. And it's almost like multiplicity. You know, the further away you get from the truth, the weaker it is. Right. So you can see the ones that are true because they have these lasting effects. Biggie Smalls.
There seems to be a sort of pattern in some top rap names of following a journey, really, from very, very rough early beginnings to becoming deeply respectable by the end of their career. Because you've sort of hit that respectable point now, haven't you? I mean, lunching with Warren Buffett, You have philanthropy, a lot of good philanthropy you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a journey you've taken, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. I think, it's a very difficult journey. And proud to be at this moment, you know, which will make the next generation's journey easier. And you already see it in the Kanye West's and the Drake's. And, you know, these guys have come from what I come from. They come from middle class backgrounds and, you know, having both parents in the home. I don't know if Drake did, but certainly Kanye. But they certainly didn't live the life that we lived, you know.
And so, you don't really wish them to have to live the life that
you lived. I don't wish anybody to have to. It's very anybody, yeah. You know, I come from where statistics are 1 in 3 black people are in jail. I mean, you can't be in a room with 10 people or 3 of you guys are going to jail. That's just really the real statistics. How could you imagine being in the room with 10 of your friends and looking around saying 3 of you guys are going to jail as a fact?
Incredible.
Yeah.
A couple of other things we should talk to you about. As we sit here, of course, America is voting in its midterm elections. It looks as though President Obama, who you were a strong supporter of, we should say, a couple of years ago, it looks as though he's going to get a bit of a beating from the voters. What's your feeling about politics in America at the moment?
I have a couple. One is this may turn out to actually be a good thing. Because I think a lot of people were just voting on bills based on stubbornness, maybe. Like, you know, a lot of Republicans, I believe that a lot of things was being held up just because they could hold them up. Now, if they have control of one of these houses, they are now responsible for it. So now the bills you're voting on are...
it's the opposition now have to take it now, very, very seriously.
Exactly.
Because, right.
Exactly. Now you have to worry about your record. It may turn out to be a really good thing on the bright side. I think a lot of when people judge President Obama, they have to judge him on what he inherited as well. What he inherited was the worst economy ever, you know, well, maybe since the Great Depression and, you know, three wars at the same time. And, you know, it's just a mess of, you know, a country. And I don't care who you are. It's going to take more than 2 years to figure that out. You know, mortgage crisis and, you know, this unemployment rate. It's going to take a while.
And people tend, I mean, the fact that it was going more than 2 years ago and he's only been there 2 years, they just blame whoever's.
Yeah, like the whole last 8 years, you know, like 8 years, you supposed to fix this in 2 years.
And you're not, I'm guessing, hugely sympathetic to the Tea Party movement. It's ground roots. It's an upswell of authentic opinion from real Americans, not sort of some manufactured or concocted.
I haven't met anyone from the Tea Party, but the rhetoric that comes from it is really disturbing. It's pretty ignorant and in some forms racist, and it's really kind of scary. It's like disturbing how that, because they're trying to control people's mind with these ideas that are very harmful. You know, I don't see any good coming from it. Again, I haven't met anybody from it, so I can't just make a blanket statement. But from what I'm hearing, it's like, man.
You don't like what you've seen.
I'm like, man, what do you realize what you guys, the message, and what are you guys are saying? And
you, of course, are from New York, and you love New York. I wondered almost whether Empire State of Mind was the sort of a new anthem for New York, and whether you see it that way, something that'll really be around for a long time, like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I mean, I think as you know, musicians and business and anything, you want to put your name in the same breath as the greats. And I thought for our generation, we needed our thing to claim our own. We love New York, you know, but that belonged to a different era. That belonged to a different generation of people. And I think we needed our own thing of how we feel and who we are right now. And that's what Empire State of Mind was.
Jay-Z, thank you very much indeed. Nice talking to you.
No problem.